Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And today I have the pleasure of talking to a good friend, Mike Fitzpatrick. He's a legislator in the Assembly, and he's from the Smithtown District. What district is that, Mike?
Number 8, Ernie.
Number 8.
Which is Smithtown and a little portion of Islip in the Hop Hog area.
So you're up in Albany enjoying yourself tremendously, right?
Lovely weather we're having. It's unseasonably mild, and Albany's beautiful this time of year when the sun is out.
Yeah, I know. It can be raw and bitter.
It can.
And so, but you're up there with a real purpose, and I know that. And one of the things that you had, I'll just start with one of the things, because there's a number of things, is the pension system to begin with is unsustainable. Is that what you're saying?
That is my argument. The current defined benefit system is in the long run unsustainable. Even though our pension fund, which is administered and under the control of our sole trustee, who happens to be our state comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, who is a really good guy and doing, you know, a good job for the taxpayers and for the beneficiaries of the investment fund. But the reality is there are certain trends that are working against the defined benefit system. One is longevity, and two, frankly, are the costs.
You mean the longevity of the recipients?
Yes. Yeah, people are living longer, and with the retirement at 55, you know, 20 and out, but my focus is more on not the police and fire side of it, but the common retirement fund for everyone else. But the salary levels are rising, and we need to slow the growth of those salaries.
One of the things that has been pointed out to me, and probably by you, is the fact that we can juice up that pension by working a lot of overtime.
Well, that's a particular problem with the police departments. Overtime is pensionable. The way it works is as you get older and approach retirement age, you basically load up on overtime, and it drives up the 3-year average, the high three, and it pushes many of them into the six-figure category.
Well, you know, when I was in industry, we had people working overtime. Most of them were young guys because they needed the extra money, A.
Right.
And B, they could work from dawn until unconscious. And the older guys were practically useless because they put in 12 hours of work. They needed 15 hours of sleep.
Right.
So.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't know about being an older guy, but that's what they tell me.
I've heard that.
So it seems illogical that they should even be able to work those hours.
Well, there's a financial incentive to do so, and that's the key here. And my criticism is of the system, not the individuals who are taking advantage of the system. Because, look, we're all human beings, and we're all subject to human nature. So when there's a financial incentive to boost the overtime, how did it get this way? And that's basically, the power of the PBAs and the public employee unions
to put
pressure on elected officials to give them these benefits.
Hold those public officials accountable. I mean, nobody digs in their heels like a businessman who knows that if he gives this benefit away, he doesn't have a profit and he may not have a company.
Right.
But, if you can hit the taxpayer, there's no incentive for you to get yourself all riled up trying to fight back the forces.
Right. Right.
So I don't know how you solve this problem.
You're spending other people's money and not your own. So there's a fiduciary. I've always believed that there you have, as an elected official, you have a fiduciary responsibility, not just to your district, but to the entire state. And, I in addition to serving in the Assembly, I'm in the financial services business. I hold a Series 7 license as a registered representative, and I've done pension work for about 15 years now. So I served for 15 years on the.
And how many of your clients today, your corporate clients, have a defined benefit plan?
None. It's all 401k.
I was expecting you to say one, two.
No, none. Not in my practice. But I do small business retirement plans. But in a defined contribution platform, you can always have a profit share. If an employer is having a good year and wants to share that with the employees, they can always do, an employer contribution, through a profit sharing provision. And that's how it's done in the private sector. And yes, the employee is sharing the burden of sharing the risk in a defined benefit plan in the public sector, whereas where most of these are, the taxpayer is bearing the risk. So imagine a Long Island homeowner who's husband and wife are working and they're trying to save for their kids' education and trying to squirrel away some money in retirement in their 401k, and then they get their tax bill and it's increased because the county of Suffolk, the town of Smithtown, or the Smithtown School District, and all of these entities where everyone's in the pension system, and the contribution percentages were going up over the years. They're trending down a little bit, luckily, but as a percentage of payroll, we're still talking, 15-14% of payroll, even close to 20% of payroll.
I remember when we had the collapse. And I warned the school board, you're going to have a big hit on this pension.
Yes.
It takes 2 years to actually show itself up.
Correct.
2 years later, they had a presentation where the pension funds were more than the salaries.
Yes.
They were actually putting more in a pension than they were paying everybody in the school.
There's a tremendous, and fortunately, Ernie, fortunately you have... And we're very fortunate in New York State because the Comptroller DiNapoli and the Comptrollers before him did not play any games in the legislature. For example, in other states, I know in New Jersey, they don't miss or forego pension payments. They don't. Some states, the legislature will sweep some of the surplus, if there is a surplus, out and apply it to the general fund. That doesn't happen in New York. In fact, in 2007, just before the Great Recession, we were at 114% funding level. Now, what does that mean? That means we had 14% more in that fund than was necessary to meet our obligations.
Did that mean that you could mitigate the upcoming payments?
Well, if you wanted to, you could, but you don't want to. I mean, that certainly would affect the contribution percentage when the actuaries, calculate the numbers every year. This is, it's a very complicated formula that the actuaries use based on the number of lives involved, and you're talking not just workers.
No, I know. I was
retirees.
In the same business as you, and even with small cases when we had defined benefits back in the 70s, it was a complicated thing.
It is, and so. When they crunch those numbers every year and you come up with the figure, okay, County of Suffolk, State of New York, Town of Smithtown, this is what you have to contribute to the Common Retirement Fund for your employees. And, okay, that comes out of the tax base.
Yeah.
And so when the Great Recession hit after the crash in 2008, we were down into the low 80s. Now, anytime you sink below 80% in funding level, that's considered the danger zone. And states like Jersey and Connecticut or, Illinois, they're in the 40s and 50s. So they're, very underfunded at this point. We're back in the low 90s, but you're only safe at 100 or better. So that funding level is very, very important. Now, when you talk about other post-employee benefits, what are called OPEBs, OPEB, these are for which there is no trust fund the way there is for retirement. You're looking at a huge unfunded liability for retiree health care, public employees that enjoy health care in retirement. And we're talking billions of dollars.
That almost doesn't even exist in the private sector anymore.
It doesn't. Yet this is because there's no trust fund set up for this. This comes out of current operating income. And as over the years, as more and more baby boomers go into retirement, it's going to consume more and more of these local, of these municipal budgets. The government accounting GASB, Government Accounting Standards Board, which rules accounting standards for government entities, passed GASB 45, I think it's called.
I want you to go into that in more detail when we come back. I'm going to take a small break here. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Mike Fitzpatrick, and he's an assemblyman from the Smithtown area. And we're talking about pensions, and we're going to get back on that topic when we come back. We're on LI News Radio, and I want to thank you for listening, and stay tuned. We will be back.